Welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge, where we explore the world around us from God's perspective.
Today we have a very special guest, Eric Hovind from Creation Today. His ministry is impacting eternity by engaging our culture with truth. Eric passionately teaches apologetics with biblical truth, inspiring audiences across all 50 states and 10 foreign countries. Serving as president of Pensacola-based Creation Today for 25 years, he has produced over 400 Creation Today shows airing on three continents, written four small group curricula, and produced five short films. Their internationally award-winning film Genesis: Paradise Lost remains the only faith-based 3D movie in the world, now translated into 36 languages. Known for his humor and creativity, Eric enjoys life with his wife, Tanya, and the family. All of them enjoy anything to do with outdoors. Eric also remains undefeated in rubber band shooting contests. Hi, Eric, and welcome to Another Moment in Creation. We're super excited to have you here today. For those who don't know you yet, can you tell them a little about yourself and how Creation Today got started?
Oh, Diana, thanks so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be here. I want to say it like this. I was born and bred for this work, the work of apologetics and teaching the truth about creation, evolution, how the Bible is our ultimate authority. I've quite literally grown up in apologetics and specifically the creation versus evolution movement. My father would travel the world, including with us kids. He'd take us all over the place. And we loved going around the entire United States and around different countries, teaching and preaching to audiences large and small. We would visit natural history museums, national and state parks, all learning to discern truth from error and fact from fiction. So it was fun. I started Creation Today, our ministry, back in 2006, and we still have the exact same mission as when we did when we started 20 years ago. We want to introduce people to the Creator who became the Savior, and make sure that they trust in Him as their Savior themselves. So we love showing people how the foundation of God's Word is essential for science and for society. So we love doing what we do, and really thankful for you doing the same thing, teaching people the truth about all kinds of things in God's amazing world.
Well, thank you. It's because of ministries like yours that I can get the information I need to do what I do. So I do appreciate it. How do you see this vision for the ministry shaping future generations?
Wow. The goal is for future generations to understand where truth comes from and ultimately who is the truth, because it's not just a thing. Satan can't create anything. He's a created being. All he can do is pervert what God has created. God creates truth. Satan says, I'm going to pervert that. God creates love and family. Satan says, I'm going to pervert that. So I want to shape future generations by getting them back to the authority of the Word of God. Hey, this is where truth comes from. And truth isn't just a thing. Truth has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So truth has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want people to understand what that truth is, and more importantly, who that truth is, and how much the truth loves them. In a world with lots of confusion, Jesus Christ loves those of us, even though we've sinned. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's love. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and He loved us so much that He died for us. So that's our ultimate goal, and we want to do that through both science and scripture and show how those two really do set the framework, set the understanding that confirms what this book already tells us. God's Word is true, and He's the author of everything.
Wow. What do you personally find most rewarding about hosting Creation Today and engaging with such a wide audience?
Wow. I got to tell you, Diana, I love it. I love doing this because I love people seeing the light. When the light bulb comes on in their mind it really does make a difference. And when they hear the truth on, and we cover all kinds of subjects, you know, everything from science to literature, to astronomy, to starlight, to quantum physics, to flat earth, to theology, to biblical creation. I mean, we try to cover the gamut when it comes to science and scripture, because I want everybody to be well grounded. But when I see that light bulb come on in their mind, or when we get emails of people saying, I never thought of it that way before, this helped open my eyes to the truth, that really is encouraging and uplifting. And then I got to tell you, I sit back and I feel so blessed. I feel like I personally am getting tutored by some of the greatest and most amazing minds of our generation. I mean, the guys that come on our program and the ladies that come on our program and just share freely their incredible wisdom. I mean, when Ray Comfort is talking to you and just getting down to the gospel, or Ken Ham is talking about why worldviews is so important and how do we do cultural apologetics, or Dr. Vodi Bakum, who just passed away a couple weeks ago. Man, for him to come on and be so hardcore on, man, you guys need to have your theology right so you can understand the world right. Or Brian Osborne showing us soft tissue and dinosaur bones. I'm like, I'm getting a personal tutoring every single week, and I'm getting to share that with the world. Dr. Jonathan Graham, who's a Hebrew expert, showing us how the Hebrew Bible really genuinely teaches a literal six-day creation. So all of the shows we just want to use as a discipleship tool. Our goal is to disciple every single person on earth, one at a time. And so we're doing these videos and taking it seriously because we want to see people discipled. I'm getting a science degree and a theology degree and a law degree all at the same time through these shows. And that's why I love doing the Creation Today show.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I can see the fire in you. Anyone that has just met you for the first time is going to see that too. One of the unique things about Creation Today is that it doesn't always reach out to believers, but it also reaches out to those who are skeptical or even hostile towards Christianity. How do you navigate that balance?
Wow. Well, Diana, some of my favorite people to talk to are the skeptics. Yes, they make fun of me. Yes, they say really, really nasty things about the God who loves them and the God who loves me. But I got to remember, but by the grace of God, that would be me.
Absolutely.
And so I guess I think of it like the story from scripture where the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Today's world, it's so deceived in today's world that when you go step foot on a college campus, and I spend time on a college campus instead of in a church, I feel like I'm leaving the one and going after the 99. And having conversations about abortion and LGBTQ and evolution and atheism, I mean, these are conversations that have real world application. So when I go and talk to the individuals out there that don't agree with me, I don't hold it against them. I actually feel sorry for them because the Bible describes them as Satan has blinded them. They can't understand the truth, according to Corinthians. They don't understand what the truth actually is. And so that tells you and reminds you as a Christian to be patient and don't boast anything of yourself. Like I said, but by the grace of God, there go I. I'm just one beggar telling other beggars where the bread of life is. That's all I am. And I'm just simply repeating what God has taught me through his word and through other godly men that have invested in my life. So I love going to the secular world and having real life conversations, because anybody who's kind of been there, done that, they've been in the secular world and they've taken the ideas of the world and tried to implement them in life and realized it's nothing but failure. And then they come to the scripture and they go, oh my goodness, God has it right. You go, man, it really is worth the labor, the tediousness of trying to help them unpack the truth and see the truth. They don't always listen, and that's okay. But I was reminded of this. I got to hear last night Butch Wilmore. He's the astronaut that was stuck in space for 9 months. I spent the day with him yesterday as he was speaking at an event here in Pensacola, just up the road in Molino, Florida. And he told the story to a bunch of college students after the event was over. We went up to a house. We're eating. We said, hey, we want you to share with the college students. He said, I was in my office one day, and it was kind of a one-way out. So everybody kind of, you get stuck behind me if you want to get out of there. Well, there was a guy back there one night, and God told me to share the gospel with him. And he said, I didn't want to do it. But I ended up saying yes to God after not wanting to do it. And this guy, he said, after through an hour conversation, was not in the least interested in hearing what I had to say. Absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, as soon as I turned away for a minute, he made a beeline out and kind of escaped this gospel conversation, wasn't interested. And he thought, what a waste. What a waste of time. And then Butch said, until Monday came. Mm-hmm. Monday, another gentleman came into the office and said, Butch, I just want you to know something. When I left, he was a fighter pilot at the time. He said, I grabbed the wrong helmet bag. I grabbed yours. I get out to my flight to leave for the night. And I realized I have the wrong bag. So I brought it back in, and right on the other side of this partition, I heard you talking to this young man. I sat there and listened for an hour to you talk to him.
Wow.
He said, I just want you to know that really impacted my life. And I got a lot more questions. Two weeks later, he accepted Christ as a savior.
My goodness.
And whether it's something like that or me having a conversation with an atheist that did nothing but rail on me and make fun of me. He goes by Darwin to Jesus. He's in the military, so doesn't give his name away. Darwin to Jesus on X. And back in 2015, man, he was bringing it on, man, just bringing it to me. We had a couple calls together. A couple years later, 2021, he writes me and says, hey, I just want you to know you're one of the ones I reached out to. Thanks for talking to me. I just want you to know I'm a believer now.
Wow.
Now, not only is he a believer, he's an amazing evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ out there in a world that needs it. So you just never know who's going to be listening and who's going to be hearing the conversation. So I love having the conversations publicly online where others can hear them, because they really are so important.
You know, that is incredibly powerful. You just never know how God's going to use you. You have to heed what he puts on your heart. I've got my own stories of where I didn't heed and then found out later other things and thought, well, you know, but I know God still works things out regardless of my rebellion. I've watched you interview Josh Timonen, who is a former Dawkins assistant, now Christian, serving in ministry for men, and also Bill Cluck. And what was interesting about his atheist crisis of faith was I watched the initial interview 2 years prior, and you guys met on an atheist / Christian book club kind of website or something, I think. And you formed a friendship. And what was so cool was the second time you interviewed him, in that moment, he had decided that God was real. And I'm just thinking, wow, you know, how cool is that? So one of the things he said to you, he says, I've accepted God is real, or something to that effect. And he says, so what do I do now, Eric? What do I do now? And you told him to start serving. So I just thought, you know, that was a great answer, because he genuinely probably really felt like, I don't know what direction to take right now. And I noticed you kept bringing back to him about the gospel and Jesus, instead of just floating out there on, well, God is real, but who is he? It's the Lord of the Bible. And I thought that was very, very cool that you did that. So,
yeah, I mean, just to believe in God is not enough. And that's what I tried to tell him. And then I was shocked. If you remember, I couldn't, I'm like, wait. So hang on, this is you're coming out of the, you're no longer an atheist, like you're back to the God thing. And for him, it was science, and it's different for different people, but for him, it was science. And you're right, it's not enough to stop there though. Next, it's, well, what are you going to do with Jesus? Like, hello, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the most attested to facts in history. That's the big deal. So he was trying to call me last night. Bill was, and I got to get back to him today. His text said, Bart Ehrman agrees with your understanding of Genesis. It's definitely 6 days. And Bart Ehrman is a major skeptic of the Bible, but he agrees the Bible is trying to communicate 6 days. And that throws out all the theistic evolutionists out there that are trying to combine evolution with the Bible. And it throws out all the old earth creationists that are saying, well, God did it, but it's also billions of years old. The earth is billions of years old, and the universe is 13 billion years old. Throws all that out of the water. Bart's going, no, you definitely got it right. That's what the Bible's saying. Anyway, didn't mean to derail, but you're right. Jesus is the most important thing.
Absolutely. So from your experience, what are the most common objections from non-believers when it comes to Christianity and creation?
Wow. Common objections. I think of things like they say science disproves the Bible. And I'm like, well, no, it doesn't. Actually, it confirms it over and over and over. Not only that, you'll find that the Bible mentions things that are scientific, and it's scientifically accurate, way before science, modern science, discovered what the Bible was actually saying. So what we find is that the Bible actually predates science in many instances. Science doesn't disprove the Bible. It confirms what the Bible says. Science seems to indicate the universe came into existence instantaneously out of nothing. Well, we kind of had a theory about that a long time ago, didn't we, Diana? I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable how much it does not disprove the Bible. So they'll say, well, science disproves the Bible. They'll say, there's too much evil for a loving God. I'm like, well, hold the phone. If there is no God, there's no such thing as evil. And by the way, this is the number one argument in the world today, evil and suffering, there can't be a God. And I go, okay. If this is just a matter of weighing out the evidence, think about it, Diana. If I get to put evil and suffering on one side of the scale and say, if evil and suffering exists, well, then God must not exist. Well, based on that, I should be allowed to put good and pleasure on the other side of the scale and go, well, wait a minute, now I got evidence that he does exist. Are we just trying to weigh out the evidence there? And I would say, no. The reality is, if you don't start with God that gives us a standard for good, there's not even such a thing as evil and suffering. If evolution is true, we're just molecules in motion. I mean, my thoughts aren't even thoughts. They're just chemical reactions in the brain. Chemical reactions are neither true nor false. They just are. I mean, when hydrogen is ignited, it just kaplooies. That it's just a chemical reaction. You don't say it's true or false. If our minds are just chemical reactions, if our thoughts are just chemical reactions, there's no such thing as true or false. So even the very concept of the moral problem of God, moral and evil and suffering and the moral issue, assumes that God exists in order to make the argument. Another one they'll say is, well, you can't prove God. Oh, yes, you can. I did a whole show on this. How do you prove that God exists? How much time do we have? Like you should either go watch the show or we should like cover this real quick. So because I do this with college students all the time. Do we have time to cover this or no?
I'm good with it if you are.
Okay. This is just a cool little thought. It's a talk I give called How to Blow an Atheist Mind. And I draw it out so I can tell the whole story. But let me just give you, I'll try to do the like little summary here that I do with college students. So I'll go on college campuses and I'll start talking to them. And question number one, hey, if you could be wrong about something, can you claim that you know that it's true? And I give the example, like, can I say that the speed limit on the road out there is 45 miles an hour, but I could be wrong. If I say I could be wrong, Diana, do I know the speed limit on the road out there? If I say I could be wrong.
You're not 100% sure. Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. I can't say that I know it if I say I could be wrong about it.
That's right.
Okay. Now we take all the knowledge in the universe. Out of everything there is to know about everything. And I mean, we're talking about all of astronomy and all of physics and all of earth science and geology and, you know, no offense, women's brains, kind of hard one for me. Okay. Like there is to know about everything. How much knowledge do we think we have? Diana, how much knowledge do you think you have out of all the knowledge in the universe and throughout all time, like where every squirrel has buried every nut? Okay. Out of
fraction.
All the knowledge.
Just a little tiny fraction.
Thomas Edison, the great inventor, said, we do not know 1/1,000,000 of 1% of anything at all. And it's like, okay, we ain't got much. So here's the question. And let's just expand it. Let's pretend it's 1%. Pretend we've got 1%. Is it possible, Diana, for something in the 99% that we don't know to actually contradict or prove wrong that little bitty 1% that we think that we do know? Is that possible?
I agree. Yes.
It's possible. So we could be wrong about that 1%.
Yeah, that makes you
and
think.
If we could be wrong about that 1%, can we claim that we know that 1% if we could be wrong about it?
No, we can't.
No, which means we could be wrong about everything we think we know.
That's really good.
Which means we don't know anything. Because if we could be wrong, you can't have knowledge. I could be wrong, so I don't know. Now I don't have knowledge. And that's where the atheist stops right there and says, see, guys, we could be wrong about everything. We don't really know anything at all. And I go, philosophers have discovered there's two ways to have knowledge. One is you have to know everything. If you knew 100% of everything, then you could never be wrong. Or you just have to know somebody who does know everything. And the one who knows everything can reveal truth to you. Now, you don't know everything, but because there is somebody who does know everything and has revealed truth to mankind, we can have knowledge. And what's interesting is that's exactly what the Bible claims to be. Revelation from the one who knows everything. And if you don't start with the one who knows everything, you're stuck in what we call absurdity world. Because you're stuck. You go, I don't know anything at all. It's like, well, wait a minute. How do you know that you don't know anything? That's absurd. It's an absurdity world. You're claiming I know that I don't know, which means you do know something, which contradicts you saying you don't know anything. Anyway, you have to start with God in order to have knowledge. So anyway, I got on a tangent there on all these, what do people say against the Bible or against creation, but you can't prove God is one of them. And oh, yes, you can multiple ways. That's just one. You have knowledge. You have truth. You do know things. No, I don't. Well, do you know that? You do know things. Now, are you respecting? Are you understanding where that truth actually comes from? You do have knowledge. Where does it come from? It has to come from God. Yeah, I'm reminded that it was actually Greg Bahnsen who told the story of a Navy SEAL who was a Christian. And because he was a Christian, his platoon, his getting onto the team was difficult. And in the team that he was in was very, very difficult. And man, he said one night in particular, the Christian Navy SEAL was in his barracks, and another Navy SEAL team member came in, and he was just drunk. And he went off on this guy. I mean, just cussing him up and down, talking about Jesus, talking about Mary. I mean, just anything he could do to rile this guy up. And this team member looked at him and he said, after he was done, he said, well, I guess you just don't know him like I do. And I thought, wow, wow, you just don't know him like I do. I know Jesus as my Savior and as my friend and as my Lord. You just don't know him like I do. So it puts us back into that position of, I'm not better than them. I'm infinitely better off, but I'm not better than anybody. I'm grateful that God has revealed his truth to me, and I can only pray that God reveals his truth to them.
I want to shift gears and switch to believers, Christians who embrace evolution and have a hard time with creationism. That they may be more polite about it, but they push back on that topic as well. So what do you think is holding them back?
Well, I think it could be a couple things. I got done speaking here in Pensacola one day, and a doctor came up to me, and I talked about how I believed in biblical creation. I believe in the 6 days. And the doctor said, Eric, if I go to the people I work with and tell them I believe in 6 day creation, they will laugh at me. And I asked him, I said, well, do you tell them you believe that a virgin gave birth? Do you tell them that you believe a dead man came back to life and he's your savior? I mean, if God doesn't exist, all of it is ridiculous.
Yes.
You should be ridiculed. But God does exist. And because he does, you can stand firm on the virgin birth, on the resurrection of Christ, and on the 6 day creation. So those who accept any kind of old earth or evolution, I say it like this. Here's my Twitter way of saying it. The age of the earth is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to the doctrine that makes salvation necessary. Where do we read of sin coming to the Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is death. Where do we read about death coming into the world? Right here at the beginning in Genesis. That's where that comes in. So you have to understand that Genesis really is the foundation to the entire Bible. And when you compromise Genesis, which is what people are doing, well, Genesis 1 through 11 might be poetic. My Hebrew scholar, Jonathan would disagree. But it's just poetic. Well, now you've really messed up. Because now you've messed up salvation. Hey, when God comes back to make the world the way that it used to be in the Garden of Eden, when old things are passed away and all things have become new, when God does that, is it going to be a world filled with death and suffering?
Good point.
I mean, if that's the way God originally made it, was billions of years of death and suffering, and then finally created Adam. Well, That doesn't describe the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible did it right the first time. He's a good and loving God. He created everything. There was no death. There was no sin. There was no harm. There was no one animal eating another animal. That wasn't the case. God created a perfect world. Every beast of the field, God gave every green plant for meat. Everything was vegetarian. So, Diana, I just think about it and I go, why would you accept the theory of evolution? My dad says it this way. Why would I trust a theory that's never been proven right instead of a book that's never been proven wrong?
Oh, that is good.
Why trust the theory of evolution that's never been proven right? We don't have evidence for it today. Oh, variation. That's not evolution. We don't have any molecule to man evolution. We don't have any cosmic evolution evidence or chemical evolution evidence or stellar and planetary evolution evidence or organic life evolution evidence. None of those, they're not scientific. Science is things we can see, test, and demonstrate. You can't see, test, or demonstrate the origin of the universe, the origin of the stars, cosmic evolution, chemical evolution, how all the elements came about, organic evolution, the origin of life, macroevolution, the origin of one kind of animal to another. All we see is variations. Well, we're going to call that microevolution. Well, just using the word evolution, you know, change, doesn't mean that equals all the others. The others have never been scientifically proven. So if you're a Christian who says you accept evolution, I say you can be a Christian. You can trust in the work of Christ. But as you study this out, you're going to realize that's incompatible with the God of the Bible. And I've heard people say, evolution can be true and God exists. And I go, no, whoa, 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 whoa. Evolution can be true and a God can exist. Sure, I'll give you that. But evolution cannot both be true and the God of the Bible exist. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not the character of God. So I think it's ignorance on scientific and theological grounds. They don't understand it. And I think in their desire to avoid conflict, they end up creating a huge theological problem for salvation itself. And it's a slippery slope. And we've warned about this for 30 years. And now we see the liberal church endorsing homosexuality because, hey, if Genesis is just, allegory or poetry here at the beginning, well, how do we know homosexuality really means that? And now it's everything. Pedophilia, minor attracted persons. Well, how do we know? There's nothing really wrong with that. And they're trying to compromise all of Scripture because they started compromising in Genesis. And we called it out 30 years ago. We said this is going to happen, and it's happening today.
That's right. That's right. And even if poetry is used, it doesn't mean it's not truth. Because I heard someone say that David, when he wrote the Psalms, he was speaking about things that happened, that he used poetry. We read about love songs are a type of poetry, and it may be about somebody's broken heart. It really happened to them. So just because it's poetry doesn't mean it's not true.
I'm pretty sure it's Exodus 14 and 15. Yeah, the Red Sea crossing in Exodus 14 and then 15. One of them is two chapters right in a row. One of those is the account. The other is the song that they wrote to remember the account. And there you can very clearly see, and it's context. Context makes the difference here. And it shows us what is poetic, and it's very clear versus what is historical narrative. You just read those two chapters and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is easy to spot. You can see it, understand it. Genesis, while very poetic, is historical narrative. It's a both.
And you've also given me an answer for when people do say God used evolution. Now I can say, well, not the God of the Bible.
That's the point. And even some of my old earth friends, I think of Frank Turek, who would be an old earth guy, does a great job on so many things in apologetics. And then he uses that phrase. Can God be true and evolution be true at the same time? Yes. And I'm like, whoa, not the God of the Bible. That is incompatible with the God of the Bible. Read about the God of the Bible. Read how he originally created everything perfect. Read about his character, his loving nature, and then try to apply that to evolution, billions of years of death and struggle and suffering. Yeah. You're not going to come away with a theology that fits there with the God of the Bible.
So I'm hearing a lot of it's a misunderstanding of Scripture. Also, there's some pressure in the world of science. When people are in college, they're told, you better, follow this.
You're going to hear this all the time. Science says, well, I know what you believe, but science says, Diana, you need to come back right away and say, science doesn't say anything.
True.
Scientists say things.
Okay.
Science doesn't say anything. Genesis, it says something.
That's
I've got
so cool.
Who says it's something right here.
That's
You're
right.
Taking man's word, interpreting the data. Science is just data. It's knowledge.
That's
Somebody
right.
has interpreted that data. Science can't say anything. Scientists say things. They interpret that data and say, I'm going to interpret it this way. Well, I'm going to take the one who did it and actually said, here's what I did, and recorded it. Remember, we talked about truth in John there. In the beginning was the word. He spoke it. Like, we literally have what the Creator said. Science doesn't say anything. The Creator is the one who said something. So maybe that's the Twitter way to say it. Science doesn't say anything, or science hasn't spoken. The Savior has spoken.
Ooh. Ooh.
Amanda, write that down. I like that.
Yeah,
one.
That's
you
a good
use that.
One. That's right. I love that. Yeah, it's true, because scientists are human, and humans have biases. And so we all come to the table with something, even when they think they don't. They'll say, no, but the science, we have science. And it's like, no, that's an interpretation of the same facts. You just look at it through a different lens, right? So let's see. Okay, what are some of the most common criticisms or challenges that you hear from evolutionists against Christians?
Wow. Number one would be that creationists reject science, and that is totally not true. If that were true, well, we got a real problem. Every major branch of science was founded by a creationist. Matter of fact, evolution hasn't really done anything to help science. Mm-hmm. Evolution did not give us, the medicines that we have today. Applied chemistry did that, and that was founded by a creationist. I mean, evolution didn't put us on the moon. Physics did that, and physics was all started by a creationist. I mean, to say that creationists reject science is the biggest red herring out there, and it's completely untrue. We're going to have a show here in a few weeks from the Creation Research Society meeting, where I went. There's a Creation Research Society, CRS. They have their own society. They have 1,700 scientists from around the world that are creation scientists actively doing research, researching creation science. What are the questions we're trying to answer? And let me tell you something. You go to one of those meetings and you're like, whoa, these guys are not only brilliant, they're asking questions the rest of the world hasn't even thought to ask about the Bible and about science and about how God did things. If you want to see where the future of science needs to go, you need to look at the Creation Research Society and see what kind of questions these guys are asking. So creationists reject science, number one. That's not true. There's no overwhelming evidence for evolution. We kind of hit on that, but no, there's not. Microevolution, variation, sure. Adaptation, of course. That's the way God designed it. God designed animals to adapt to their environment. That's called genius planning. That's because he's an amazing designer and a really, really smart guy. And it's interesting. I hear people, no, God is so dumb. Look at what he did here. And it's like, how much universe design experience do you have? You show me the two or three that you did, and then you make fun of God's, for crying out loud. There's not overwhelming evidence of evolution. There's overwhelming evidence of adaptation, which is something that God says, hey, I want you to go and fill the earth. So he gave them the genetic ability to go and fill the earth, and they're doing exactly what he called them to do. And then they'll say, well, no real scientists believe in creation. If you go to, I forget the website, but the whole concept is Descent from Darwin. I think it's descentfromdarwin.org. Thousands of scientists, PhD scientists have said, I don't believe in Darwinian evolution. I don't believe in Darwinian evolution. I don't believe in Darwinian evolution. It doesn't answer the question. So there's a lot of real scientists that believe in creation. The creator of the MRI machine passed away a couple years ago. Raymond Damadian believed in literal 6-day creation. And then they'll say things like, well, the fossil record proves evolution. No, it doesn't. The fossil record shows us animals that have died. It doesn't prove anything evolved. You can't say that because an animal died, it evolved. You have no clue about that. And I would say, you know what? It shows us the fossils in the ground. The fossil record is a record of the flood. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. I mean, I've got a record of the FLOOD right there in the ground, in the dirt. God says he judged the entire world. And the only way to create fossils is to have them rapidly buried. I mean, when you find schools of fish where the fish are not deteriorated, they have fresh, like they just ate, there's food in their stomach. Like, there's no way to get those found around the world without a global flood. So fossils are evidence of the flood, not for evolution. Anyway, those are just a couple of things that they try to say.
Excellent. And even with that adaptation, there are limits and it never changes. It's still the same species or whatever. It's still the same creation. And,
yeah. Well, and by the way, we would use the biblical word kind because they would say, oh, look, this one and this one are different species. And it's like, well, it's the same kind of animal. You got a rabbit and a rabbit, but they can't interbreed. So we're going to call it different species. So that's a whole other problem. They don't really have a good definition for the word species, but
that's
their problem. We'll let them deal with that.
No, that's true. And even you were talking about a scientist, Dr. Andrew Snelling. So he made predictions. There's lots of different scientists that make predictions. Nathaniel Jensen, he's a geneticist.
Yes.
Gene Jensen. But about Andrew Snelling, he made predictions about the folds in some of the rocks in the Grand Canyon. Well, in the movie that our film I just put out, The Rocks Declare a Global Flood, he is a key feature in that. And I discuss his research and what he found. And that's really profound because he is a geologist and he made a prediction. He went through a lot to get to the point where he could even test this material, where a lot of geologists don't have to go through those things. And he proved those rocks had to form while they were soft. Water had it, like, it's just it's amazing. So to me, when people won't even absorb what they're hearing, it's hard to get through to them. I don't know. But you just hope that maybe something sinks in over time and they just start to gradually grasp it. It just seems like they're, like you said, the Bible says they're blind. They simply can't see it. And yet it's so obvious to us. So,
yeah.
So on that note, how do you equip Christians to answer those challenging questions without needing a PhD in science? I don't have...
Yeah, I'd say that my goal would be to teach a worldview thinking. It's to teach the idea that the Bible is the foundation and this is the worldview you have to start with in order to make sense of reality. If you want to make sense of reality, which everybody should want to do, you need to understand the Bible and that this is the foundation. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't want reality. Matter of fact, when I do that little analogy of we can't know anything unless we start with the one who knows everything, when I do that analogy on college campuses, 25% of the students will say, when I get to the conclusion says, do you want to accept absurdity or God? Those are your two choices, absurdity or God. And they go, I'll take absurdity. It's like, they don't really want the truth. And I'm trying to show them, look, you really do need to hang on to the truth. That's what makes the difference. So facts don't speak. They have to be interpreted. Science can't talk. Scientists can talk. You can speak up, and I want Christians to understand the biblical worldview, how to see the world through the biblical worldview, and that the biblical worldview is what makes sense of the reality that we're seeing today and that we're experiencing today. And now go tell somebody about it. Because once you understand the biblical worldview, you're created. God made man in his image. Man rebelled against God. God had to curse man and curse creation, and now we're living in a fallen world, a cursed creation. That really sets you up for the need for salvation. You need a savior. That's what the whole Old Testament is leading us up to. Old Testament is like, hey, guys, guess what? A savior's coming. And sure enough, 2,000 years ago, the savior was born, lived the life that we don't deserve, or lived the life that we couldn't live, and then died the death that we certainly deserve to die, and gave us a payment that we do not deserve. But he willingly sacrificed himself for us. So I want to teach worldview thinking. I want to give simple analogies so that anybody can grasp the idea of the designer. You know, this building is evidence of the builder. Somebody built this. Matter of fact, my dad and I built this one that I'm in right now. I know them personally, me especially. It's good to give simple analogies and stuff to help people understand the truth of what God teaches. And then I would just want to encourage confidence. Man, that's kind of one of my biggest deals, is I want people to be so sure that God exists that they can't help but go share him with others. I'm tired of the blind faith. I want people to have real, genuine understanding of who God is. And then obviously promote critical thinking. I mean, when you do this, the more you do this, the more it helps people think correctly and logically and not just blindly accept things. So love doing that with believers and even non-believers, challenging them.
Great. So you've given some good ideas for people to be able to answer without being intimidated. Just by knowing to go back to the Bible or coming to programs like Creation Today and watching, like I have. I watched you ask questions to people, and it helps reinforce how to respond to those kinds of things. I mean, you've given great tips even so far today. Let's see. For someone that's new to creation today, and I want all the people listening to my program to please check out Creation Today. What kinds of resources, programs, or features would you encourage them to check out first?
Everything. We just edited show number 444. They are all just so good. So I'd say just the Creation Today show. You can actually sign up, creationtoday.org/signup. And we'll send you what we're doing each week. It's our free resource every single week. The shows are, I think, truly incredible. The knowledge that I'm gaining, so I'm not always the one giving this wise information, okay? I feel like a lot of times an idiot compared to the people that I have on that are really, truly sharing, like, just gems from the Word of God and from science. It's truly incredible. So I'd say that weekly show. I got a really cool search engine. We're about to update it where it's kind of ChatGPT based, where you can actually have a conversation with it. But searchcreation.org, searchcreation.org is part of my creation network. And searchcreation.org is Google without any junk. I index the top 43 websites on creation apologetics out there. And if you have any question about creation, evolution, science, or the Bible, searchcreation.org is the go-to place to find a great answer without going to any of the junk, any of the lies. You're going to get nothing but good stuff. And very soon, it will be, it's indexing all the websites right now, and it will give you an answer in a paragraph format rather than sending you links to articles in the near future. So really excited about searchcreation.org. And that's just part of the Creation Network, which is creationspeakers.org, visitcreation.org. So Creation Speakers, all the Creation Speakers out there, places to go to visit and have an online creation, an online place to go see where all the creation destinations are in the United States. And then Search Creation and Creation Today. So yeah, we're just, we are a simple, small ministry based on partnerships, trying to make our community better, better together. How can we partner with other creationists to really, overturn the lies and the science has been hijacked, and it's time to take the terrorists out. They've been terrorizing science for long enough. It's time for us to get back and teach the truth.
If a person only had 5 minutes to, their attention span was maybe 5 minutes, and they go to your site and they're like, I just want to grab a video that's going to get my attention and make me want to watch more. Do you have something you would recommend?
5 minutes. I would say just go to our social media under Creation Today on all the different platforms, or under Eric Hoven, both of them, and watch some reels. We produce out of our show, we pull out these reels, and they're just these nuggets that are anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute long. So I'd say go to Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, and just look up Creation Today or look up Eric Hoven and just start scrolling and enjoy it. And then if you feel like responding to some of the scoffers and skeptics out there, throw a little note in. I happen to believe a 6-day creation as well. And I'm, so just throw things out there. I think that's great.
That is a good answer. What do you find most exciting about how technology is being used to spread the creation message?
Oh, man. Back in 2015, I went back and looked at our donor letter, just encouraging people to donate. And now this is our prospectus that we just came out with this year, going through our financial accountability and going through, who we are as an organization. By the way, if anybody wants this, just send us an email, comments@creationtoday.org, comments@creationtoday.org, and I'll send you this on our ministry. 2015, I pulled out our letter, and I was blown away that we had reached 500,000 people with the gospel message through our little bitty ministry.
Wow.
500,000. Last year, because of technology, social media, everywhere you can reach. Last year, our little bitty ministry reached over 85 million people.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lord,
God is good.
For all these abilities to get out there and shine the light in a powerful way. So I'm excited about the technology of where we're at. I've done shows on transhumanism and AI and where it's going. I am concerned, very, very concerned, especially where we're at just in the last month, where you can make a video that looks 100% real that is absolutely not real. I mean, it's not going to be long before you start seeing this face and this set say things that I have never said and are not true and that I would never say, because the skeptics are going to start creating things that are not true, and we're not going to know what to trust. So following accurate accounts, real accounts might be important. Having discernment is going to be very important. You know, the Bible says there's going to be a time where if it weren't for the grace of God, even the very elect would be deceived. And I go, man, there's great deception at play. Great deception is coming. That's for sure.
That's true. Well, I'll just change and ask this question. You've worked with so many young people on college campuses and trying to reach out to them. What makes Creation Today especially relevant to the next generation?
I guess for me, and this is what I hear all the time, we're trying to give real answers. I meet people who either went to church, went away, became an atheist and came back, or a lot of them who are still away, and I've got lots of them on video saying, when I went to my church, when I asked my Sunday school teacher, when I went to my small group, I asked these questions and they couldn't answer them. And I'm like, that's why we exist. I'm not afraid of your questions. God's not afraid of your questions. And we have a lot of people preaching in the church a blind faith. Don't ask that question. Oh, that's a bad question. And really, it's just they don't know how to answer it. And answers are out there. So I want people coming to Creation Today saying, I want to ask my hard question, and I'm not afraid of your hard question, because God's not afraid of your hard question. I mean, if Christianity is true, well, then what does it have to be afraid of? I got nothing to fear. There's no question. There's no argument. There's no evidence that can come against God. Bring it. So to the next generation, I think they're going to be encouraged by Creation Today, because I'm not shying away from the hardest questions they've got. God can handle them. God can handle them.
I wish there were ministries around when I was a younger person like this.
Wow.
If they said, I believe in Jesus, but why does it matter whether or not I believe in creation? How would you answer that in 1 minute?
Yeah, if you're truly a Christian, then you're a follower of who? Christ. That's what Christian means, is little Christ. So if you're a follower of Christ, you should figure out what his teachings are. And if you study the teachings of Christ, you'll realize, oh my goodness, Jesus refers back to Genesis as real history. So if you're going to be a follower of Christ and you're going to follow the teachings of Christ, you should believe what Jesus said on Genesis. I meet lots of people who say, well, listen, Genesis isn't essential to salvation. We should just teach what Jesus taught. And I go, hey, I don't mind focusing on what Jesus taught. Matter of fact, you go to what Jesus taught Genesis. He said he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. He's the one who said that Cain killed his brother Abel, was the first martyr who was killed at the foundations of the earth. And multiple times throughout scripture, both in Jesus' words and in the New Testament author's words, they refer to Genesis as real history. So if you want to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, then take Jesus' teachings seriously. Jesus taught Genesis as real history. You can trust it. The lineage, his genealogy goes back to Adam. And that's essential. He didn't come from a monkey. He didn't evolve. He came as part of his creation into this world. So I did a whole series on that. You can get it. creationtoday.org/Jesus on Genesis, a whole talk just on what did Jesus teach about Genesis. You'd love that one.
That's excellent. I'm going to check that out. Thank you. So not they shouldn't stop at just a doubt or even an idea that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It enriches their faith. It gives them encouragement and know how to talk about their faith better. They should just dig deeper, it sounds like, right? Just dig deeper. Watch some of those videos if you have no idea where to start in the Bible and get a direction. And then, of course, open the Bible and read along so you see it with yourself and you reinforce those things too.
Don't be embarrassed about what Jesus said happened. If you're a Christian, little Christ, you're not going to be embarrassed by what God says. You're not going to be embarrassed by talking about the miracles, the walking on water, the healing of the sick, the creation of the world. None of that is going to bother you, because that's what Jesus did and that's what he claimed.
Looking back on all your years on Creation Today, what has encouraged you the most about how God is using this ministry?
Every time I see somebody come to Christ, I'm like, God, you can take me to heaven now. I'm done. I'm fulfilled. Like, what else is there to do? Every time somebody says, wow, I really am created. I didn't evolve by chance over billions of years. I really have sinned. I really do need a savior. His name is Jesus. I'm going to repent and trust in him and his work on the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. I'm just like, God, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be a small part of the amazing things that you've done in this world. Our ministry is small. We just want to be part of building the wave that turns into a tsunami in eternity. That's all
Amen.
We want to do.
Amen. Amen. You're on that path. That's for sure. So I'm sure that right now you will be speaking directly to someone who is unsure. They're sitting on the fence about creation and evolution. Maybe it's even a non-believer who thinks that we're just a bunch of nuts and they're a bit skeptical, but for some reason they're still watching. So what would you like to tell that person?
God and Satan got all the people of the world together one day, and they put a fence down the middle of the field, and God said, "Everybody on my side, come this way and follow me." Satan said, "Everybody on my side, come this way and follow me." A lot of people didn't want to make a decision. They sat on the fence. And as God took people this way and Satan took people that way, Satan came back and he looked at the people on the fence and he said, "Hey, come on, let's go." They said, "No, we don't want to make a decision. We're just going to sit on the fence." He said, "Ha, I own the fence." And I think that's the reality, is that you don't need to sit on the fence on this issue. You need to study this out and figure out what's true and follow what truth is. You say, "Well, hasn't science proven?" No, science hasn't proven the millions of years. That's based on an idea of radiometric dating, which really radiometric dating wasn't invented until the 1930s, and they came up with the millions of years idea back in the 1800s. So no, the old Earth ideas are not based on radiometric dating or any kind of radiometric radio decay dating. It's not based on that. They tried to allow lots of time to allow the layers to develop in the geologic column. That's what they were trying to do. Instead, they were actually getting away from what the Bible teaches is the flood. Those layers that they were trying to add time for to get the ages, those layers are called sedimentary layers. Sedimentary means laid down in water. And those are found all over the world. Where do we hear about layers being laid down by water all over the world? Genesis chapter 6, the flood tells us about this. So the Bible is scientifically and historically accurate. You really can't trust us. Or you really can't trust this, the Bible. And I would say study this out, man. The more you find out, you're going to be mad. I'll tell you this. When you realize you've been lied to your entire life, you are going to be PO'd. You're going to be very upset. You're going to be like, "Why did my school teach? Why did I get indoctrinated with?" Because that's what happens to everybody who comes out of the indoctrination. Look, I get it. A lot of people, that's all you've been taught. I mean, all of our schools, our universities, our public television stations, the public school textbooks, they're all pushing one agenda, the evolutionary agenda. And when you wake up and realize evolution isn't true, like the macro, the molecule to man evolution, the fish to philosopher idea, that didn't happen. You're going, "Oh my goodness, I'm created by God." So I'd say, hey, wake up. Now, I can't wake you up. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So next encouragement I'd have for you is pray. Say, "Man, God, reveal yourself to me." And you just wait and watch what happens. Let God reveal himself to you. He'll do it through his word. He'll do it through creation. He'll do it through people. He can do it through a sunset where you're like, "I'm going to believe that the sun rises and sets." I know that's our vernacular. Okay. The earth is spinning, but the sun rises and sets every day in order. And I'm going to believe that's just an accident, really. And someday one of you are going to look at the sunset and go, "That happens all the time, regularly. And I think it's an accident. Ain't no way. There's way too much order to this universe. I want to worship the one who created that, the one who made all that order." Cry out to your creator and he'll save you.
Wow. Thank you. That's spot on. How can our audience best support you and the work of creation today?
Put this right hand right here next to this left hand right here. Fold your fingers together and go to the Heavenly Father and say, "Dear Lord, dear God, please protect, please equip, please provide, please allow the outreach to continue, please give wisdom," and just go to God in prayer, asking him to help us in what we do. That would be the number one thing you could do, because we know that if we strive to build something, we work in vain. Our labor is nothing. It's in vain unless the Lord builds the house. So you pray and you ask God to allow us to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. I'll tell you this, Diana. I don't know how much potential God gave me when I was born or when he thought of me in before I was ever in my mother's womb. I mean, my potential was probably somewhere here, okay? Others, God gave way more potential. Mine was probably somewhere here. And I've already done plenty of stupid stuff in my life to limit my now potential. But whatever I got left, I want to reach all of it. So just pray that we'll reach our potential and pray that you'll reach your potential for the glory of God. Because one day you're going to stand before him. And you're going to give an account for how you lived your life. I was just listening this morning, you know, number your days. Wow, God, am I really going, let me squeeze the most I can out of today? Am I doing everything I can? So I try to serve morning, noon, and night. My hobbies are creation versus evolution. My job is creation versus evolution. The fun things I love to do are creation versus evolution and apologetics. My vacations somehow are going to have to do with creation versus, like, this is my life. I was born and bred for it, like I said at the beginning. And it's the most important subject we need to be talking about today. So pray and get involved. Help us spread the word.
Thank you. So before we close, is there anything else you feel you need to say?
Yes. Diana, how long have you been doing this?
On radio, 4 years. Just
and
started
on YouTube?
Less than 2 months.
And I would say that you're somebody who's like, I see a need. Let me go have conversations and fill that need. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the need that you see? I don't see anything more important than creation evolution. All the political issues come down to, were you created or were you evolved? Everything, all the social issues come down to, were you created or were you evolved? The 10 plagues, or the 20 plagues, we've made it 20. The 20 cultural plagues that we've got in society today, all 20 of them, abortion, gay marriage, critical race theory, transgenderism, racism, economic chaos, gender identity, socialism, pornography, fake science, relativism, secular education, transhumanism, addiction, euthanasia, Islam, and the jihad that's happening, divorce, suicide, human trafficking, rebellion. All of those come down to the creation evolution subject. If you evolved, you're going to think one way. If you were created, you're going to think another way. So I believe the creation evolution subject is the number one thing that we need to get back to understanding the truth of in order to fix all the cultural plagues in our world today. So what's the number one thing you see? All right, now go do something about it. Get involved. And if you can't do something, the way my dad used to say it was carry bullets for somebody else. If you can't make the YouTube video, you support Diana as she makes the YouTube video. You help her get the connections and get interviews and find the people. Do something and get involved that's going to make a difference in eternity.
Eric, thank you so much. And we really appreciate you sharing your heart, telling us about the ministry and the vision that you see for Creation Today. It is inspiring to hear how Creation Today is helping people move from confusion to confidence. And that is showing how true science and true scripture do not conflict, but they beautifully confirm one another. As we close, I am reminded that the message of creation is not just about science, it's about the Savior. The same God who designed this incredible universe also offers redemption and hope through Christ. Again, thank you, Eric. And we are so grateful for Creation Today because it bridges the gap between faith and science, pointing people back to the authority and beauty of God's Word. And to our viewers, whoever you are, if you're questioning, you're curious, or confident in your faith, I hope today encouraged you and that you will look a little closer into the world around you and see the fingerprint of God in every detail.
Because you're listening to this on 89.1 FM Grace Christian Radio or from my archives page from the website, you need to know there is a video version of this interview with Eric Hovind. And in it, there is extra material that we just couldn't fit in the hour time slot that I am given on the radio station. I would love for you to catch the juicy tidbits and all the interesting details that you just missed out on because it is so enlightening and so encouraging. Please check out my YouTube channel at Another Moment in Creation.
Thank you for joining us for Another Moment in Creation. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking, and keep standing on the truth that never changes. The evidence of our Creator is all around us. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation.